You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of April 17th, 2019, and now that's what I call podcasting.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points Podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I am Obi George Kenobi.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games and the force that binds us, penetrates us. Never forget about the penetration.
Nope.
It's in the rock. It's in the video game. It's in your controller.
It's in your DNA.
It's in the gigantic marketing budget of Electronic Arts.
Exactly right.
It's Star Wars. Well, I guess they have an entire Star Wars festival these days, which is why Star Wars is in the news. So I guess that makes sense.
Yes.
But there's been some news on Star Wars video games, Star Wars movies, and George and I calculated it, and we talk about Star Wars approximately once every 2 years on the podcast. So here we are.
Yeah, I mean, we're due, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, interestingly enough, a lot of the episodes that we've done about Star Wars didn't really pan out. You know, turns out people like to cancel Star Wars games. We have a new trailer for a new Star Wars game that I think odds are pretty good it's not going to be canceled.
You could say there is another.
There is, in fact. I'm pretty sure we made that joke the last time there was a Star Wars game trailer.
Yes, they revealed the Respawn game, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Yes.
And they put out I don't even think it's a game trailer. I mean, it is an engine trailer or whatever. I don't know how you classify trailers these days. Like, there's no UI in this trailer, but it is digital, so whatever that means. And they revealed the, you know, kind of basic story, character, so on and so forth, and they did this in the context of them releasing the trailer of the new Star Wars movie that's coming out, Episode 9, in December. And so we've just had Star Wars on the brain, and it's time to check in on that, see how these two things are interacting with each other, see how we feel about Star Wars video games these days, and see if we still have faith in the Force.
That's absolutely right. Also, I should say, for the podcast, I violated my no spoilers rule for the Star Wars movies and watched the trailer. So you're welcome,
man. Listeners. George suffered for you.
I have indeed. Well, where do you want to start? Do you want to talk a little bit about just the state of Star Wars video games? Because it feels like we're talking about having faith in the Force, but I don't think anybody had much hope that there would be another good Star Wars game in a long time, right?
So here's my theory. Star Wars video games are either, the metaphor is, they're either in between episodes 3 and 4 or 6 and 7.
Yeah. Oh, in terms of where they can slot it.
No. I mean just,
quality.
The state of the Star Wars universe, like the Star Wars video game universe, the Force has to awaken or there needs to be a new hope because right now, things are rough.
I see. Yes, that's very good. That's a very good point. Yeah. And I think it's especially weird because we are in an era where the Star Wars films are actually quite good, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and just flat out, they're making them again. You know, there's a Star Wars movie every year.
Well, and blockbuster successes, you know, like these are tentpole films. The release of the new trailer blew up the internet ever so briefly before it was pushed aside for Game of Thrones because the Star Wars franchise is so well loved that it is frankly quite shocking that there has been such a slow rollout to a new Star Wars game. I think there's a part of it that we all know, which is the pressure to make a good one is extremely high.
Yeah.
The pressure is certainly on EA, partially because they need a success now more than ever, but it's also just a license that you can't really afford to fuck up.
Yeah. And also just the idea that they're coming off of Battlefront, Battlefront 2?
Yeah, Battlefront 2.
Which is just it's never good to see a video game go through such troubles, but it almost became comical of like how troubled it was.
Yes. Yeah. So much so that Vince Zampella was talking about no loot boxes.
I mean, I guess this is pivoting into just Respawn in general, but it's weird that Respawn has, I mean, with the success of Apex Legends and the just overall attitude that they seem to be having, is they're the kind of, I mean, I guess capitalism does this to everything and everybody, but like EA has successfully
devoured from the inside.
I mean, basically, it's like, okay, so Respawn is like the bad boys of EA that like talk shit about loot boxes and stuff, while at the same time being fully bought and purchased by Electronic Arts.
Yes.
So it's, I mean, they're able to comfortably take shots at a business model that no one liked from within the company that implemented that business model.
And they're given exactly that freedom because the previous business model bit them in the ass
yeah.
in significant ways, and specifically around the Star Wars franchise. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean, think
there was like times where we were like, oh, does this mean there's just not going to be Star Wars games anymore because of Battlefront, just because of how bad Battlefront 2 turned out.
And importantly, it's not just Vince Zampella saying this off the cuff, you know, unscripted at a press conference. You know, like, this is something that the official Twitter account for Fallen Order said about the game, like, hey, we're not doing these things that we know that everybody hates, you know?
So that, like, that is so crazy to see to me.
Do you think that they would have said that had Battlefront not blown up? Like, it's coming out of this very particular context, you know? Yeah. It's almost like, therefore, by the grace of God, go I, for Respawn's ability to say, hey, we're not doing this thing, and damn right we're not doing it. We promise to never do it. Like, they were given that freedom precisely because the backlash was so severe on the previous title.
That's why it's so wild to see, because it is, there's no way that marketing campaign would take the shape it was without Battlefront 2. And in all honesty, it's probably a good thing for this game.
Yeah.
Which is weird. So it's like, okay, well, you have Battlefront 2 gets to be the sacrificial lamb that allows the Respawn game to get even more hyped up.
Yep. Out of curiosity, I feel like this bums me out even more that the Visceral game was canceled under Amy Hennig, right? Because her and her team were working on a more single-player, narrative-driven, Uncharted-like, if you will, because of, you know, her claim to fame on that series, a version of a Star Wars story. And it kind of bums me out that that game was canceled in a window where it didn't make sense to come out with that type of game, you know? And now we're in a place where BioWare has sort of lost some of the credibility that they had for the sort of bumbling that was Mass Effect, and then a little bit as well for Anthem. Mm-hmm. And then, again, the backlash to Battlefront 2's microtransaction. That's precisely the type of game I think EA sort of wants to present with Jedi Fallen Order, a single-player action based like fun Star Wars game that is first and foremost focused on the story and not ways of monetizing that content after launch.
Yep.
And it really bums me out that, like, Amy Hennig, who I think is, you know, a luminary in her field, she at GDC she won like a lifetime achievement award. She's got plenty more games in her, right? But I think she would have made a really good game, you know, like that whole team at Visceral would have done a really great job. And I know it's easy to fall into, you know, the thing that doesn't exist is the best version of it, right? Like, this could be the Hodorowski's Dune of video games. But, you know, I think now is the time to mourn that a little bit, because the context in which she would have been producing that game is so different now than it was then.
I mean, there's a good article from Eurogamer that directly interviews her, and she's very gracious about it, but she is pretty candid about how, well, you know, back then it was a different leadership team and different circumstances, and, you know, it's, again, she's very graceful about how she, like, delivers her perspective on it, but, I mean, this is the sort of thing that, for people like me, this is why it's like, okay, the idea of a meritocracy is kind of almost laughable, where it's like a luminary in the field was the total victim of the time and place she was brought into the project and the company, because she is doing exactly what the marketing campaign of Fallen Order is, except that she was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and was unfortunately a collateral damage of, like, the mess that was going on.
She has fallen, if you will.
I mean, if I were her, you know, she's somewhere, I mean, whatever, she's somewhere in Dagobah or whatever, living a very quiet but peaceful life, you know, like
riding on the shoulders of any passerby who will give her a piggyback ride.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, there are probably people that come to her for advice and wisdom in the same way that Luke did for Yoda, and then she like steals their granola bar or something.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably not the case, but I think I would want to secretly pay her a visit if I was working on Fallen Order.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, pick your brain. Like, what do you think about the whole series? Because, I mean, that's the interesting thing about Star Wars games and Star Wars fiction period, right? You have this world that is incredibly interesting, that I personally absolutely adore, right? And there's so many stories to tell in that universe. And we have so many different genres that take place within that universe that we've already seen on display, right? In the old Star Wars films and expanded universe to even the most recent Star Wars film where there's like casino heist sequences, you know, or you have so much variety there that where you start is actually quite difficult to decide because it's not
right.
It's not right. So easy as to say, I'm just going to tell a normal game, but reskin it as Star Wars. Like you are wrestling with a ton of expectations, but you also have a wide open playing field.
Yeah.
And frankly, like if I were approaching the story of what a game like Fallen Order might be, or even just from a gameplay perspective, it's pretty daunting, just the sheer scope of what you could potentially try to accomplish.
Yeah. As a side Star Wars question, did you see the Han Solo movie?
I did not. That's the one Star Wars movie I haven't seen yet because I've heard really bad things about it. And I'm going to... There's a couple of like spoilers that I won't talk about regarding how they found the Millennium Falcon, but someone explained it to me and I was so irate at the audacity of retroactively making the previous Star Wars films worse that I just refused to watch it. So
you're just not going to engage.
I'm never going to see it. Yeah. No. Have you seen it?
No, I think that might be the only one that I haven't seen yet. I saw the rest of the new ones and the other, Rogue One. I saw that one too.
Yeah, Rogue One's great.
But I was wondering what the Han Solo genre was, because Rogue One was more of a like spy thriller type of thing, whereas the main entry points have been more just kind of traditional hero's journey type of stories.
Right.
I'd be interested to see what they did with the Han Solo thing. But yeah, I mean, do you want to talk about the Fallen Order stuff, the trailer specifically?
Yeah, sure.
So I liked this trailer better than the trailer for the new movie coming out.
I agree with you there. I feel bad saying that because I really like the new movies. And I don't know, we can talk about the trailer maybe a little bit like afterwards when we get done talking about the game. But there's a lot to love about the new film series, but you're right. I agree with you. I think this trailer is better.
Mm-hmm.
Reason number one. Wall running.
Hey guys, it's Respawn.
I like the fact that they were like, look, we're known for this, and hey, let's be fucking honest, we do it better than anyone else in the industry. Like, we do movement well. Let's show our character traversing the planet or whatever star system they happen to be on,
right?
So people know that, look, it's us, we're the ones doing it. I think that's super smart.
Yeah, I mean, as a tone piece of like, oh, what could this game be like? There's definitely when the protagonist was fighting that stormtrooper with the staff, it's like, okay, there's going to be some modern style combat in it.
Yeah,
you know, there will be some sort of perhaps Batman or, you know, almost Souls-like inspired, like, heavy enemy that you'll have to, look at the patterns.
Scott, you just gave me shivers. Souls-like.
But, I mean, you can tell, like, by the way that they framed up that scene, there's going to be times when you are doing these one-on-ones and you have to think about, like, what the... I could see a lot of what they were going for.
Yeah.
But also just, like, the movement speed. It never really sunk into me that... I obviously knew Respawn was doing this, but until I saw the wall running, I was like, oh, right. Like, if any company out there can implement Jedi powers, it's probably them.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, actually, because the idea of using the Force to push things, always made sense, and we've seen the Force being used to push things that causes then a somewhat similar force to be exerted on the Jedi using it.
Yeah.
It actually makes a lot of logical sense that you could wall run as a Jedi.
Yeah.
And we've seen crazy aerobatics, right? But like, yeah, I think the movement actually makes quite a bit of sense. The scene when he actually does the wall running and then uses the Force to like activate an object.
Yeah.
I was thinking about in Sekiro how it's really second nature to sort of throw your rope out and grapple onto something in really fluid movements.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, we know that Respawn has done movement really well in Apex Legends, and they have the character that shoots zip lines, which feels really cool.
Exactly.
And I was like, man, it actually does make a really kind of fitting sense to be able to use the Force as a way of just moving about space in a way that we actually haven't seen in like a ton of games, you know, where you're mostly just running at people and your Force powers involve like, you know, Force choking and lightning people and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, traditionally, even in those games that were fairly well received, I forget, it was kind of like these Xbox 360 era games where you were, God, what was it called? You were basically like Darth Vader's apprentice, and it was a third-person character action game. And the Force powers are basically spells. You know, it's like, here's my lightning bolt. Here's my AoE attack. Here's, you know, whatever. And so it is a cool... It's cool to think about, oh, like, this could be a movement-based thing rather than just a spell-based thing.
Yeah. In the trailer, we see the main character. His name is Cal, by the way, which comes off like a sort of... I don't know.
A Jedi from the faraway land of Malibu.
Yeah, exactly. So Cal, I feel bad in case someone named Cal is listening, but hey, look, those are the California stereotypes.
Yeah. Well, and plus, I mean, you're a Jedi, so I guess you have the last laugh.
That's true. He draws a lightsaber at the end.
Mm.
I believe we've talked about this on the podcast before, but what are your thoughts on the lightsaber as a tool in video games?
I mean, I can't.
Do you feel like you need one, you know?
You know, what was the best implemented lightsaber, you know? Because, like, it's such a weird, like... Unless it's going to be, like, Red Faction Guerrilla, where you could basically destroy the entire world with one lightsaber, which is probably technically correct, right? Because it can cut through almost anything.
I mean, you might be really slow cutting through, like, a thick sheet of metal, right?
But, I mean, you could do it. Like, it's just...
Like the classic scene from Star Wars Episode 2, in which...
Oh, nice. Well, didn't they? I mean, they were always using their. I feel like in the prequels, they were always using their lightsabers as like basically screwdrivers.
Yeah,
like, they were like, "Oh, I can open this up." Like,
yeah, power tools. Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, I think that's the hard part about a video game where like there's so much agency. What are you gonna do? Like, are you gonna shoehorn in a reason why you can't just cut through the geometry, or are you gonna like, you know, for some reason limit it to certain scenes or whatever?
Well, then my other issue is, you know, when you are fighting an enemy. There's been a lot of Star Wars games where they're just sort of slashing at, like, if slashing at a Wampa or something, and it's not cutting it, you know?
Right, yeah.
Like that, I don't know. I find that hard to believe. Where can you have a HP gauge and still have a fucking lightsaber? You know, like, right. You should be one-shotting some pretty hardy... I mean, I get it. Like, you might have to do some work to chop off a very thick, beefy arm of some sort of large creature, but I don't know. It feels like it's a little bit overpowered. I think it would... I don't know. I've always been of the opinion that the more interesting characters in the Star Wars universe are not Jedi.
Yeah.
So I've always been a fan of that type of storytelling. I think that's something that Star Wars Galaxies leaned into, because there were a bunch of interesting stories and classes involving people that were not Jedi. I think that's something that would have been cool. And whenever I see that lightsaber, it always just kind of puts me on edge of like, ugh, I don't want this to become like a lightsaber based game or just lightsaber fan service when so much of the universe of Star Wars is not just having a lightsaber.
You mean you don't want a robot with six arms with a lightsaber in each one?
I mean, hey, I'm a big General Grievous apologist. I think he's freaking awesome in the Clone Wars, but you know.
I mean, the thing that I, surprisingly, the thing that appealed to me about the trailer was, I think they're doing something interesting with the time period that they're setting it in, which is the Jedi have all been wiped out. There's still some stragglers around the universe. And like, what does it mean to live in a world where the Empire has won?
Yeah.
And how do you make sure that you stay underground and that you survive and they even set it up in the trailer, like, what are the rules of surviving? You know,
yep.
You keep your head down, you don't reach inside to the force, and it's like, oh, that's kind of like, that's an interesting thing, because apparently this character is obviously force sensitive, but maybe it was like a Padawan that escaped, you know, the massacre. Which,
hold on a second. So, like, pause there for a second.
Uh-huh.
How did this young Padawan survive the Great Jedi Purge, Scott? I mean,
it was spring break and he was in Cabo or something, and then all of a sudden he came back.
That's probably it. He was at Coachella that weekend. Yeah. They totally missed out.
Well, he was so high that he missed his flight, and then when he came back, he was like, guys?
Yeah. Hello, Master?
Younglings? Younglings? Yeah, God.
Whatever. I love Order 66. The idea of the Great Jedi Purge is so cool. And you're right. Like, okay, I'm going to put on my embarrassing, like, nerd cap for a second.
I'm going to put on my Jedi cloak for one moment.
I did, for several sessions, run a Star Wars tabletop RPG game set in this time period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer that this is some of the most interesting time period in the Star Wars universe, because you're exactly right. The Empire has won and have established pretty much complete control over the galaxy. Two, there's a time period where Jedi have been gone for long enough and the documents have been purged from, like, universal knowledge. And remember, you know, much of the prequels we see are set on these, like, major hub worlds where everybody knows who the Jedi are, and it's not just a story. But, you know, 19, 20 years after the Jedi Purge, you have this time period where people genuinely don't believe the Force exists or that Jedi were real, and they think it's a fantasy.
Yeah.
So you have this whole other, like, level here where not only are you trying to hide your powers from the fact that you might be hunted by the Inquisitorial squad, you also have the knowledge that, like, people might consider you a freak. Like, they might not want anything to do with you.
Exactly.
And think that your behavior is, like, alien and bizarre, you know? That's super cool.
It is. And I think it's something that, you know, for whatever reason in the movies, they just never really did much with. And they did a little bit with it in episode 7, but it wasn't a thing where, it wasn't like a day-to-day life type of thing. Like, they breezed through it pretty quickly. And so it'd be cool to go into a game where you get to see the implications of that, like the implications of having to hide it, or the implications of having to basically reconvert people into this belief system.
Yeah.
And I also just think there's just dramatic tension of it. It also helps solve a little bit of the, like, the classic Superman dilemma of, like, how do you make drama when your hero is a superhuman?
Yeah.
And in this game, it's like, oh, well, there could be drama because, one, maybe he's not a super skilled Jedi. Two, maybe there's a system where you don't want that reputation. You know, you only have a certain amount of stuff you can do. And if you reveal yourself, you're either ostracized or captured. And it's like that's another source of drama for someone that is basically a superhero.
Yeah. And you're right. He cannot be a master Jedi. You know, like, he literally has no one to train him. In fact, I would be very disappointed if he even encounters another Jedi in the game, because I hate the idea that, like, Order 66 was hugely successful, except for these 40 people that are having this Jedi fan club on Tatooine. Like, that's ridiculous. So, but yeah, that idea that this character doesn't have a Jedi person to train him. If he was old enough during Order 66, it's cool if he remembers it, though. Like, that might be neat to know that, like, oh, you survived and you have to, like, keep this thing secret. And then I think that some of the same drama and conflict that you get out of the new Jedi films, I think you can explore here as well, right? Where you also sort of feel like you have this obligation to represent the Jedi and maintain that sort of religious order and the history that it brings with it. But at the same time, you have to be a survivor. And sometimes that means not leaning onto that Jedi stuff, especially when you're also, you know, you call them a force sensitive earlier. And there's other force traditions in the galaxy at this point that have nothing to do with being a Jedi that I also think would be super cool to explore.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know how far they're going to go into it. I mean, obviously they're leaning very heavily that this is a story driven game, but I mean, what we're actually describing is another BioWare game where it's like, oh, it would be so cool if we had to like reinvent the lore and this guy was trying to carry the torch but only being able to see the shadow on the cave versus the fire, and you know, it's like, you know, we're painting a very big like RPG brush which on something which is probably going to be an action based game. But like,
yeah, we really just want, well, but you know, so Chris Avellone is working on Fallen Order. He worked on KOTOR 2 and is known for a variety of other games. Like, that guy is a very talented writer. So you're absolutely right. But hey, you know, they could squeeze this full of like random texts in there. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I believe. I hadn't realized that, but it makes more sense now after watching it, because I just get the sense that the story does seem interesting, and it's like, oh, okay, well, like they're going for something here. And you know, it's a unique take with a different type of character that hasn't been a main character before. So related a little bit to the trailer for episode 9 that's coming out, how much, if any, do you think we'll see of known characters in Fallen
in
Order?
Fallen Order?
Yeah.
That's a very good question. Huh. I mean, it's taking place in a weird time, right? Like, significantly before the events of the new series. So anybody that would recognize are likely people that we recognize from episodes 1, 2, and 3. Likely. I don't know. That's a good point, because you're basically smack dab in the middle, right?
Yeah.
You're in a period after... Well, I don't know. Actually, that's a good question. So the Empire hunts down any surviving Jedi for like 20 years before they claim defeat.
And I mean, like Vader just goes on a hunt, basically. After,
yeah, I mean, he literally, yeah, exactly right. He literally hunts people down. I mean, the Inquisitorial squad that you see in the trailer are Jedi, former Jedi, that were, like, corrupted by the dark side and used to hunt their own, which is super fucking cool.
Yeah.
But it means if we want to be, you know, if we want to, actually here, the the timeline is such that this could be a good, you know... How long? What was the difference between episode 3 and episode 4?
I feel like it was a shockingly small amount of time.
That's true, actually, because I now realize, like, I remember thinking, oh, it's been a super long time.
Yeah.
And Princess Leia had aged, you know, the cast had quite literally aged quite a bit. But you're right. I think maybe it might be just before the events of the new series.
Mm.
But certainly by this point, depending on when it's taking place, you know, it could be that Rey had not, you know, was still a child, essentially.
Right.
I mean, fuck, do you think Rey as a child will be in it?
Well, I mean, I think this is between... Well, Rey was... I think we're conflating two timelines.
I'm going to do some Google work.
Yeah, we're conflating two timelines, because Rey wasn't even born during the original series. Like, Rey wasn't born during 4, 5, and 6, because, like, she's only 20-something.
Sorry, yeah, it's the other... Well, yeah, you're right, sorry, 7, so on and so forth. But this is taking place... Okay, yeah. This, oh, I see. Yes.
This looks
right,
to take place between 3 and 4, because it was like Order 66 and...
But is then, that necessarily the case, though?
Well, he was talking about how... he was talking about, you know, how people had been hunted down and, you know...
But this could be 30 years afterwards. Like, I don't... It's not entirely clear when this is taking place in the timeline. I guess you have to assume that it's taking place within 20 years of Episode 3.
Well, according to various Google searching, the time between episode 3 and 4 is roughly 20 years.
Okay, so this could be taking place right around the start of episode 4.
Yeah, and it looks to be, it seems plausible just by the tone and by...
The technology.
The technology. It's like, okay, this is like 5 minutes before Rogue One, which was itself 5 minutes before episode 4, you know?
Yes, yeah, that's a good... Because I was thinking maybe this would be like 50 or 60 years later, but yeah, you're right.
I think it would have been... I've always questioned why... Well, I mean, I guess they wrote themselves into a corner. Like, I think it would make more logical sense for there to be more time between episodes 3 and 4, because I think it would better explain the loss of the Jedi knowledge.
Yeah.
But they wrote themselves into a corner with Luke and Leia having been born in episode 3, because then it's like you know, if your protagonists are going to be in their early 20s, that's the maximum amount of time that can be in between 3 and 4.
Yeah. And Obi-Wan aged like super fast.
hey man, it's fucking hard out in the desert.
That's true, man. Like he's not getting his regular like facial treatment that he normally gets in Coruscant.
You try living on exclusively Bantha milk for 20 years.
That's a good point.
Thinking about episode 6 and episode 4, like a deleted scene of A New Hope is just like Luke was suckling at the teats of those weird flying bird reptile things.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan just went up to Banthas and was like, ah, breakfast time.
Yeah, dude. You know, get that blue milk. So you've corrected me. I stand corrected. This is taking place roughly around the start of episode 4.
Yeah.
Fuck, I hope he doesn't see Luke, though, you know?
That's what I mean. Like, well, I think what will happen is we'll at least have a... You won't fight him, but we'll have at least, like, a shadowy Vader standing on the bridge of a Star Destroyer or something.
I mean, that's the other thing, right? It's like, there's a strong part of me that wants nothing to do with any of the main characters. Like, I don't want to see the Emperor. I don't want to see Darth Vader. I don't want to see Luke. I don't want to see any of the fucking droids. Like, I don't want any of that, right? I think it'd be far more interesting to see... or get a sense of what's going on in the outer galaxy among the other survivors. Like, the only survivors of the Jedi Purge that we know of, or rather, there's a bunch that we know of, but the only ones that we've actively seen is Yoda and Obi-Wan,
yeah.
You know? Like, we don't have in film, at least, like, what that actually looks like. So I think it might be cool to have them, you know, if this main character is going to learn anything about the Force, to learn it from... other Force users in the galaxy that are still managing to survive. And especially cool is not actually have any Jedi, but instead like other Force sensitives.
Oh man, actually that's a great way of gamifying it too, because throughout the story you meet other Force sensitive people and learn their techniques, where it's like, oh, thanks for saving me from so-and-so. You want to learn how to jump real high? And like, yeah, that's how you do it. You know,
I mean, like the witches are the ones that like trained rancors. How sick would it be to like learn that ability and you can ride a rancor?
I'm a beast master.
Sure. Like, I don't know. That could be really cool.
Well, and it also explains why his abilities are a patchwork of, I mean, it's cool. Again, it's cool from a narrative sense because it is not. It turns the Jedi Order into an oral tradition versus this weird warrior monk class. Yeah. You know.
Well, the problem though is where does he get his lightsaber?
Yeah, I mean that. It feels like those things are always floating around though, where it's like, how'd you get this thing? Or you know, you held on to this thing for 20 years, so like maybe he found, you know, he found something or. You know, he was, or maybe that was his, like maybe he was in the process of constructing it as a Padawan, you know?
I don't know about that. Really? He'd be such a fast learner. He's so young in this trailer.
Yeah.
Like, he's gotta be a youngling when he survives the Jedi Purge. And I mean, again, unless the timeline is weird, like this could only be 10 years after episode 3.
I guess that's true. You could go from like age 15 to age 25 or something like that.
Yeah. I'm going to make a call right now, by the way, that the main villain, who's the second sister in the Empire's Inquisitorial squad, is his actual sister.
Oh,
dun, dun, dun.
That's never happened in a Star Wars before.
I mean, you know, come on. Like, hello, of course.
That's true. That's a good point.
Because that whole order are people... I mean, it's called Jedi Fallen Order, right?
Yeah.
So in my mind, that seems to be a nod to the villains and not the hero, because the whole point of that particular task force that hunts down Jedi are that they are fallen Jedi.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That itself is very interesting. Or maybe he was like, he defected from that order or something. Maybe that's where he got that, you know? Like, he took his lightsaber and got the F out, you know?
Well, but then his lightsaber would be red, Scott.
Oh, the evil lightsaber.
I mean, unless he's like, oh man, I can't go around using a red lightsaber.
I gotta stealth this thing.
I gotta find this crystal and replace my color.
I mean, I think going back to your point of not wanting to see a bunch of, you know, nods to known characters, I think that is also what somewhat attracts me to this game, because the main series is just so steeped in fan service right now. Like it's like eating a cake with like 7 layers of all icing. You know, dude. It's like, man, like this is a lot, you know?
Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about the new Star Wars trailer for the episode. God, what are we on now? 9?
9. Yeah.
Yeah, it is very fan service heavy. I'm kind of glad I watched the trailer, to be honest, because now I can like lower my expectations a little bit.
Adjust them accordingly.
Yeah, because I mean, there's just, I mean, again, spoilers for the trailer if you really want to be sensitive about it. But okay, you've got Lando in there, fan service, right? Yeah. You've got the Death Star in there, fan service.
Yeah.
Then you hear the Emperor's voice.
Yep.
Over the narration from Luke. Who is also dead already. I mean, fine, he's going to be a hologram, whatever. Saying, like, oh, we never really die.
Yeah.
I do not want to see a fucking ghost hologram version of the Emperor.
Mm.
That has, I have no interest in that.
Right. Well, let me tell you.
Well, get your force belt ready, George.
Yeah, tighten your force belt because we're going to see some ghosts in this one.
Oh, God.
I mean, I think the... I guess so. There's a few things like the cyclical nature of Star Wars. Like they've obviously really leaned into it. You know, the kind of iterating circles of the story that keep on going over and over again. But I think there is something. I don't know. Like maybe they feel emboldened by the fact that there is more diversity in types of movies and side stories that they can just go way more extreme with like the core narrative in the core movies.
Yeah.
Because there are things like Fallen Order where it's like a complete side story that, you know, they make up a new character out of whole cloth. Whereas like, okay, great. If people want a new thing, they can go to this other thing. We're just going to nostalgia the hell out of these other movies.
But my fear is the exact opposite, right? Where the reason the new Star Wars is so fanservy is because that is what people want, you know?
Oh, you're just you've just lost all faith in humanity.
I mean, a little bit. Like my concern is that look, EA has a Star Wars game on their hand. There are expectations around what Star Wars is delivering, and that includes tying into this major epic storyline. So I could absolutely see this chock full of movie tie-ins and character references because that is a soundbite that they can use in their marketing to attract people. That aren't just fans of the Star Wars universe, like, you know, generally, but fans of a very specific Star Wars series and style of Star Wars storytelling.
Mm. That's true. And I mean, I think it has gotten, I mean, obviously it's a trailer and not the actual movie, but
yeah, we're doing a whole lot of speculation, but that's the most fun thing around the Star Wars series.
But even the like the interstitial cards where it's like, every generation has a legend. It's like, what does that even say? Like, that's a meaningless string of words that is meant to sound profound, but is actually pointless.
Exactly. So and especially when the last film was literally like, hey, you know what? No legends. Anybody can, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you lose. It's just hard. You got to do hard work. Like,
yeah. I mean, and Luke's whole thing in the last movie was, it's time for the Jedi to die, you know, to end. Like, we're going to end it here and now. And then it's like, you know, but now it's like, oh, the saga comes to an end, and it's like, first off, bullshit. Like there will never be an end to Star Wars. Like it's fine, but to what end? Like what story are we even telling here? You know, if this is just gonna keep looping and looping, like it's a lot of false drama that is built up around. I mean, I guess it's my classic criticism of J.J. Abrams, which is like, it's meaningless emotion. Like, it's emotion that's not tied to any sort of grounded reality. It's just meant to, it's manipulative. Like, it's meant to make you feel nostalgic or it's meant to pull at your heart. But once you peel it one layer back, it's like, oh, there's actually not a lot of depth here. Like, why is any of this happening? Yeah. Whereas like Fallen Order, it's like, oh, there actually is some depth here. Like, what if you were a person who was the last of his order that you weren't even an expert in, and now you have to carry the mantle of this, you know, of the Jedi Order, and you're not even sure you can live up. It's like, okay, there's like some actual drama there where it's like the new characters are like, what? Like, what is even happening with any of them?
Yeah. But we do see in the Fallen Order trailer, like more sort of weird arbitrary tie-ins, right? Like the Sarlacc pit. The Sarlacc pit is like one of the most iconic things in the Star Wars universe. The moment I see that, I go, eh. You know, like, I already know how a Sarlacc pit... I know how a Sarlacc pit works to a detail that is embarrassing, you know? I don't need more Sarlacc pit stuff. Like, it's not cool just because Boba Fett almost died in one, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I bet you there'll be a Boba Fett sighting in that game.
Fucking... Are there clone troopers? Have we established that?
I mean, I don't even know. I can't even remember if we've established that that stormtroopers are clones. Did we decide that?
They were clones, but once the clone factories were on what, Yavin 4, right?
Weren't they? Yavin was the rebel base.
Oh, that's right. The clone factories at some point were destroyed, but even if they weren't destroyed, like, the clones were a massive army, but not enough to maintain control over the entire empire. And who rules countries under imperialism better than the oppressed themselves, Scott?
Oh, that's a good. That's very, yes.
History
that is
has
true.
Proven that true.
History has proven, yeah. You, the empire is setting up their own version of the Raj or whatever on like various planets. Actually, do the clones integrate into galactic society? Can clones reproduce?
I do not think clones can reproduce. I think that's been built in.
Okay.
In fact, that was not so compelling because I think the storyline was kind of bunk. But in the prequels, in Episode 3, uh-huh. Boba Fett's. What Jango Fett made the deal to have a kid, his own clone as a child, so like that was the deal because they can't actually reproduce themselves.
Got it. So you can't have like you're not going to have a like unsullied version where it's like what's his face gets with what's her face.
Exactly. I mean, if you watch the Clone Wars series, that actually does some really cool development around some of the clones. Mm-hmm. I think that they can integrate with society. They don't because they have a fucking job and most of them. That's all they do.
And they're goddamn professionals.
And they're fucking professionals, you know what I mean? Like the sharpest shots in the galaxy, you know? They don't miss. But eventually, right, like if some of them decide to leave, then yeah, they could be integrated.
Well, and that's why what's-his-face Finn... was it Finn? Finn. That the other guy? Finn is... I mean, he's just a person, and he was a...
Exactly, he was a recruit. Yeah. Or was he, Scott?
Oh, that's
TBD.
True.
Find out Christmas 2019.
When every legend has a saga or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's weird. It'll be weird to see these two things. Star Wars has gotten so big that there's just so many of these different side stories, and they do try to tie them together in some funky ways, but it's all very different from each other.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I'll tell you what. This game, Fallen Order, comes out November 15th. That's actually pretty soon.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play it. I mean, unless it gets delayed, which is a very real, and then canceled, real possibility.
There's no way. Can you imagine, like, this game getting delayed at this point? Like, Disney has them in a vice right now.
But I'm curious, like, how strict is Disney? Because wouldn't they have been put in a vice for the last, like, 3 years? They've wasted so much goodwill.
Well, I mean, I think this is the... To me, like, once you show a trailer like this, it's it. You're locked. Like, they should have killed Battlefront 2, but it was too late for them. You know, they were like, well, we can't put this back in the toothpaste tube now. We're just going to have to ride this.
Yeah.
And then they ended up smearing the toothpaste all over the bathroom.
Yeah. It won't get canceled. And also, it's, like, unlikely to slip, right? There's no multiplayer. There's no crazy microtransactions that they're polishing day one. I don't expect there to be a beta because there is no multiplayer or online component, so... It'll come. It'll be single player, and I really hope it's going to be good.
I'm excited for it. Like before, I watched that trailer. I had it on my radar, but I wasn't really paying too close of attention to it. And now it seems like I think I'll play this game. And I will say that the one thing that they will do is like you cannot release a game in 2019 without having some sort of tail on it. And so like there's going to be story DLC.
Yeah, that's
like,
definitely true.
There's going to be a season pass somehow. You know?
Yeah, a whole story where you just play as his bipedal droid, you know, walking around. Also, why does every fucking Star Wars thing have to invent, like, a new kind of droid? I've never seen that bipedal droid. That looks like a sort of knockoff WALL-E. Like, does that exist?
It did have like, a little WALL-E vibe to it.
Maybe WALL-E is that's a droid.
Oh, shit. Pixar, Disney connections already. Like, here we go. I mean, it is kind of... It does seem kind of like a rite of passage where, like, every movie has to introduce a new droid type.
Yeah.
I bet you there will be an R2-D2 cameo.
Sure. I mean, there's already a scene where it looks like there's an R2 unit inside of a ship.
Yeah. An astromech model droid.
Yes, an astromech model droid.
Yeah. It's cool. Like, it's an exciting thing, and it was a great... To me, it was cool to see this trailer shortly after seeing the one for the movie, which just seemed like, yeah, you know, that's fine. It'll be a Star Wars. And this is like, oh, cool. This looks like it might actually be a neat video game.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, I do wonder, because this is coming very close to the release of the film if there will be some more direct tie-in. Because who knows? Yeah. Like, what if it ends and it jumps forward 20 years and then this character's in the fucking movie somehow?
I mean, he could be one of the many ghosts that you'll see in episode 9.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like, oh, Cal, Jedi bro. God, Cal, awesome. Bro, what's Shaka, up, Cal? Bro.
I mean, maybe his droid will show up, you know?
I'm riding that force wave, dog. Like,
BB-8 has no legs. This guy's got two legs. Match made in heaven.
Yeah, that he could ride on top of BB-8 and, like, run around on top of him.
Oh, yes, dude, yes.
Like a giant ball is rolling around the desert.
That would be amazing.
Cool. Well, I am glad you sacrificed your pristine viewing experience to have our, much like the World Cup, we talk about Star Wars once every 2 years. I'm glad you sacrificed your pristine viewing experience to talk Star Wars.
You're all welcome.
Yeah, ingrates. All right, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our youngling sanctuary. Come on, come on, save yourself from the Jedi Purge by listening to all of our episodes on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you happen to find your podcasts.
Cool. All right, everyone. Until next week, thank you so much for listening.
So long. Every time.